chapter 24. Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24. We begin reading from verse 4 onwards. You know, when I was a young boy, I was growing up in a home. My dad was a very strict man. He would, he would give me hidings after hiding after hiding. He would give me the belt, right? He would be a very strict discipliner. He was very strict. Any wrong move, and I'm gonna get it. By the time I was in, class six, I'd quickly learned my lesson. I'd quickly learned to obey. I think by the time I was in year seven, that was the last time I got a hiding. I'd learned to obey. I'd learned to follow instructions. I learned to pay attention to detail. But as I grew older, it wasn't a hiding that was. He wasn't giving me any more hiding. But now the words. Right, the words were coming. He would, you need to do this, you need to do that. So it got to a point where I was beginning to despise him. I was very frustrated with him. I couldn't wait. Deep inside me, I was telling, I want to just grow up quickly, so I can punch this man up. That was in me, in my heart. That was the feeling that I was getting. I just can't wait to grow up quickly. Even at one point, I was telling myself, I just can't wait for this man to die. No, and finally, when my dad passed away, I was filled with regret. Later on, as I look back, I realized, the values that he had instilled in me, the values that he was trying to teach me, something that has kept me all throughout these years. And, it wasn't until much later that I really appreciated what he did for me, those valuable lessons. Dads, they are like an authority figure in your lives, in our lives. Right, we have a lot of authority figures in our lives. It can be your dad, it can be your teacher in your school, it can be your boss at work, right? So this morning I wanna preach on a sermon that I've entitled Our Attitude to Those in Authority That We Hate. Right, sometimes we hate these people in authority. And the text that I'm about to read this morning is about this young man, David. He's now serving in King Saul's court. King Saul now is jealous of him. He despises him. And ever since David had killed Goliath, his fame had grew in the land. He had become more popular, and he was very successful militarily. The Bible says that he was one of the top generals in Saul's army. He was one of the top leaders. In 1 Samuel 18:30, he says, the Philistine commanders continued to go out to fight the Israelites, but David defeated them every time. He became famous as Saul's best officer. So now King Saul was becoming becoming more jealous. He was being threatened by him. And to make matters worse, Jonathan, who was King Saul's own son, he was the heir to the throne. Jonathan had taken on David's side. He had become very good friends with David, and he had pledged his loyalty more to David than to his own dad. And now, King Saul was now after David's life. He's now wanting to kill him. He's now hunting him down. And David now is on the run from King Saul. And so we pick up the story in our text this morning. We pick up the story where David now is hiding in a cave. And King Saul and his men, David was hiding in a cave with his men. King Saul and his men, about 3,000 of them, had been hunting for, had been looking for David. And now King Saul comes to this cave. And he came inside the cave to relieve himself. The Bible says he came inside the cave to relieve himself. So let's pick up the story from 1 Samuel. Chapter 24, verse 4. First Samuel chapter 24, verse 4. The Bible says, "And the man of David." Now, this is when King Saul had entered into the cave. Right? He was there. This man was right at the back of the cave. They could see King Saul coming in. And this is now them telling David. And the man of David said to him, "This is the day which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand." They must be whispering so that Saul doesn't hear. "I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you." And David arose and secretly cut off the corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. And David also arose afterward, went out of the cave and called out to Saul, saying, "My lord the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stood with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your harm'? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you. And I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.'" Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Let's pray this morning. Father in heaven, God, I commit to you, Lord, this time. I pray, Father, for your word, my God, this morning, Lord. Let your word go forth this morning and achieve, Father, the purposes it's intended for. God, bring forth in this place conviction. Bring forth, my God, direction, Father, through your Holy Spirit. Yes, Father, hide me behind the cross, my God, this morning. God, if there's anyone in this place specifically that's not saved, I'm asking you, my God, that you will deal with their hearts, Father, through your Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Our attitude to those in authority. Firstly, this morning, I want to talk about authority figures. Our authority figures in our lives are, you know, leaders who have been in charge, who have been left in charge over us. People who are placed over our lives to watch over us, to protect us, to guide us. Right? Usually they would use their authority to guide us to do the right thing and help us stay away from doing the wrong things. This could be in the home in form of the parents, right? Your parents, or some of you who are not staying with your parents, maybe your guardians. Right? These are authority figures in the home. They are meant to watch over you. They are meant to provide that love. They are meant to provide that care, that nurturing. They are meant to teach us. They guide us and say, "Hey, don't do this." I started off the sermon with a story about my dad. He would teach me. Proverbs 20:12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." And we have other authority figures around us. We have the police. We have the army. And we have the town council. The day when we were preaching in Nosuri, the authorities in the Nosuri town came, "Hey, you're not allowed to preach here. Take off your, you know, take your stuff, go somewhere else." Again, these authority figures, especially the law enforcement officers, the army, the police, they are meant to watch over us. Right? They apply the rules. Right? They provide law and order. And if anyone breaks the law, we look to these authority figures to bring justice, to bring down the perpetrator, to apply the law and bring punishment. Romans 13:1 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." In schools, you have your teachers. You have your prefects. Right? These are authority figures. In your workplaces, you have your bosses. You have your supervisors. You have your managers. In the church, we have leaders. We have the pastor. Right? Sometimes they bring reprimand. Sometimes they bring correction. We may not like it. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Now, in an ideal world, In an ideal world, you would expect these authority figures to treat you well, to treat you fairly, to treat you with dignity. You expect them to lead by example. You expect them to, you know, to judge correctly, to have dignity. But sometimes they don't. Sometimes these authority figures, they misuse their authority. Sometimes they abuse it for personal gain. Sometimes they administer their authority out of anger. Some of them, because they don't like you, they say they have something against you. No, but some of them, sometimes it's just a misjudgment. Now, there was this former CEO, a prominent CEO, one of the big companies here in Fiji. This guy was like a big boss. He was a big boss in his company. He was well respected in the business community. And then one day he lost all that because he was being accused of harassing or abusing some of his employees. These employees, they look up to him. They treat him with respect, but in return, this authority figure, he committed this criminal offense, and now he's facing the consequences of that. He's now standing trial. This is someone who's in authority, someone that these employees looked up to, but he abuses power, and he abuses authority by committing this offense. In our text this morning, we have this king, King Saul. This is an authority figure, a king who is supposed to be ruling his subjects fairly. He's supposed to be providing them, you know, he's supposed to protect them. He's to provide judgment with wisdom, right? But he's going after one of his own men, one of his own leaders. He's after him. He feels threatened by David. He feels threatened that one day David would probably take away the kingdom from him. And he's feeling jealous now to the extent that he wants to kill David. 1 Samuel 24:6, he says, David said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." Look at the attitude of David this morning. Secondly, this morning, I want to talk about our attitude to authority figure. Now, this country, Libya, had a powerful leader. Libya is located there in the north of Africa. If you remember, before Libya was ruled by this man called Gaddafi, Muammar Gaddafi. He ruled his nation with an iron fist for over 42 years. He was a dictator, someone who was an authority figure that ruled by fear, ruled by intimidation. He had total control. You know, some people say that he abused his power so much that he would make his opposition just disappear, just like that. He would just have them kidnapped, have them killed, thrown away. Commentators, even some reports mention that he would put their bounty. You know what a bounty is? Bounty is, want dead or alive. You remember that? In the Cowboys. If I put a bounty on Junior, I want him dead or alive, and I put a bounty on him, $100 for Junior. It means, if anyone finds him, brings it to me, or anyone kills him, I would reward that person $100. That's a bounty. So this man, Gaddafi, he would use the state media, right? Imagine the television station, the newspapers, to put out bounty for those who were in opposition to him. He was someone who abused his power. He used it to suppress any opposition. And one day, all that came to an end. His regime was toppled by rebel forces from within Libya, and they were supported by the NATO coalition force. And imagine what these people, the Libyan people, did to this man. Reports say, when they actually, he was running from town to town, trying to run away when the uprising began. His own people now turned against him, and he was running from one town to another town to another town. And finally, when they caught up to him, his own people, the Libyan people, they found him hiding in one drain. They found him hiding in one tunnel. They dragged him out. Imagine, this is a man who's been ruling their country and giving them a hard time, giving them, torturing them, making, some of these men, maybe their relatives were probably killed by these men. Reports say they dragged him out And he didn't survive for long. Right? They beat him up. They did so many terrible things to him. And they finally shot him when they captured him. They couldn't wait to take revenge and lay their hands on this man who had done so much to them over the years. And in our text today, we have someone in a similar situation. David was presented an opportunity to take revenge. David was given an opportunity to finish the business once and for all. Here's a man who's been after him, a man who's been hunting him down, trying to kill him. And he was there hiding in the cave when King Saul walked into that cave. David had done nothing wrong. All he had done was to serve the king. All he had done was to kill his master's enemies. And for that, he was receiving all these death threats. And now, to his surprise, the very man who had been hunting him down, the very man who's been trying to kill him, walks into his hiding place. King Saul was in what we call the kill zone. The Bible says that King Saul came into the cave to relieve himself. And listen to what his men told him. This is David's men. They told him this. And the man of David said, in our text, and the man of David said to him, "This is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.'" And I'm sure if that was you, if that was me, we would have done to King Saul what the Libyan people did to Gaddafi. And naturally, we would grab the opportunity to kill this person, to kill this person in authority who has abused his power, who's trying to bring you harm, using his power to try and come against you, to even try and kill you. But listen to what David said, 1 Samuel 24:6. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." You know, David, in our text this morning, he recognized God's anointed authority figure in his life. And despite all the evil that King Saul was trying to do, David kept his heart right. You know, my pastor, his famous lines, they always remind us, keep your heart right. Keep your heart right. Keep your heart right. No matter what, keep your heart right. Turn to the person sitting beside you, tell them, keep your heart right. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." Imagine David. His life was threatened, and yet he was able to hold it all together. King Saul wanted to kill him. What did David do? For him, it was unthinkable to kill God's anointed. So he spared his life. He could have done what the Libyan people did to their leader, but he didn't do that. He kept his heart right. Romans 12:21 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So to prove that he could have killed the king, he cut off his robe. And imagine this, even when he cut off the king's robe, afterwards he felt guilty about it. That's how his mind was at that point. He was so frightened, he couldn't do that to the king. And even after sparing his life, he decided to cut off the corner of his robe. You know what the robe is? The kings, the royals, they would wear this thing like a robe, like a Superman thing at the back. So he went and he cut that off. And even after he did that, he still felt bad about it. He felt guilty about it. 1 Samuel 24:5. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. Another translation, the God's Word translation said, "But afterwards, David's conscience bothered him because he had cut off the border of Saul's robe." And maybe you're here this morning and deep inside, you know, you have something against an authority figure in your life. Someone that you look up to, someone who has not treated you fairly. Someone maybe that was supposed to love you, supposed to care for you, but has probably abused you, maybe verbally. Someone who's abused you, maybe physically. Someone who's probably abused you sexually. An authority figure who has betrayed your trust, who has violated you. can be someone in your home. It can be your father or your mother. For wives this morning, can be your husband. For children this morning, can be a sibling that you look up to. They violated you. Maybe in your school, a teacher who has violated you. Prefect, someone that you look up to treat you fairly, but they've subjected you to bullying, maybe in the workplace, through your boss, or maybe in the church, maybe through your leader, your pastor, you felt that you've not been treated fairly. I want to encourage us this morning. Let's take on David's attitude this morning. Let's learn to guard our hearts. Let's learn to restrain ourselves and leave it to God. You know, David had all the reason to take revenge. But what did he do? No, he didn't. He knew, imagine this, David knew that he himself had been anointed to become king. David knew that. When he was young, he was anointed already by the prophet Samuel that he was going to become king one day. He knew that. And he knew if he had just killed Saul now, then he would solve everything. He'd become king after that. But no, he didn't do that. He could have grabbed the opportunity, but he left that to God. Romans 12:9, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Now, despite all the world threw at him, David kept it all together. Why? He recognized godly authority, and he knew that Saul was God's anointed king, the authority figure over him. What about you and I this morning? Do we treat people in authority in our homes, in our workplaces, the same? Do we guard our hearts, or are we waiting for vengeance, or are we waiting for revenge? Thirdly, as I bring this to a close, I want to talk about the blessings of recognizing godly headship. Now, as I mentioned this morning, when I began my sermon this morning, I talked about my home. I talked about my dad. You know, I grew up in a home where both my parents were drunkards. I witnessed this growing up. But one thing for sure, when both of them were sober, they would teach us the ethics of hard work. They would teach us to be honest. They would be true to their word. They would teach us to be true to our word. When we say something, we mean it. No, they would treat us, they would teach us to pay attention to the detail. And sometimes, even in his drunken state, my dad would call me and he would begin to lecture me. He would tell me, you know, don't be like me. I only went up to Form 4. You make sure you go through school. You work hard. You know, he would give me this advice. And like I said, one wrong move, that's it, I got it. So as I grew older, learned my lessons quickly, learned to respect and follow their instructions. By the time I was a bit older, I got married and started my own family. Their words of advice and their teachings never stopped. And this has helped me throughout all these years. There were moments when I wanted to just rebel and do my own thing, but I did it with a lot of guilt. And we were, you know, all these values, all these teachings were being passed down to us, and we were not in church. My parents were not in church. They were just at home, and just they would pass on these things to us. And for me, it was very difficult for me to even lie to my parents. It was like something big for me. I recognized that my parents were like the authority, godly authority over my life. And I learned to abide, and I learned to obey their teachings and their instructions. Right now, as I look back, I'm almost 43 years old now. So, as I look back, we were talking with our daughter last night, and I was telling her, "No, right, I'm 43 now. I look back, I could clearly see the trend for those kids who never listened to their parents." Or those who just rebelled against authority, whether it was in school or at home. And the consequences of bearing that, of what they did back then, they're reaping the rewards of that now. When we don't recognize godly authority over our lives, you know, it's really going to hurt. It's really going to... we're going to reap something that is terrible. In our text this morning, David recognized this, and he did the same for King Saul. He recognized that he was God's anointed, irrespective of what King Saul did to him. I want to tell you this morning, church, there is a blessing in this when you recognize godly authority over your life. And in here to that, I tell you, there will be blessings. And as I close this morning, I just want to address three groups here. Firstly, wives this morning. Love your husbands. There is a godly anointed authority in your home this morning. Treat them with dignity. Treat them with respect. Ephesians 5:22 says, wives, submit your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I tell you, when you do this, there is a blessing that comes with it. Wives, never give up on doing good to your husbands. Pray for him. Lift him up before God. And this verse is not an excuse for us husbands, you know, to demand and expect our wives to be like our slaves. No. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You know, this verse describes the wives as the weaker vessels, which means that men, you are to be the stronger vessel in the home. You are to be the strength to bear that load and pressure of the home, being the provider, being the protector, being the priest of the home. And if you listen to that verse right at the end, he's saying that your prayers may not be hindered. And I was talking to one of the guys from one of our churches. You know, we were having a fellowship, and I told him, bro, you need to love your wife. You need to treat her with respect, with dignity, and, you know, love one another. And as I was saying that, and he's saying, you know what? I was praying one morning, and this verse came to him. That's probably why my prayers are not being heard, because of the way I'm treating my wife. The second group I want to address this morning is to ask the children, youths, and also the adults in this place. You know, your God-anointed authority figure in this world are your parents, your guardians. You know, if you treat them with respect, if you treat them with dignity, you're going to reap the rewards for that. Amen? And as I was sharing with you what we went through as children, as what I went through as a kid, though I was beaten, I was belted up, it taught me a lesson. But right now, I'm reaping the rewards for that, because I chose to respect, I chose to listen, I chose to follow instructions. Children, this morning, parents, they are not your slaves. They don't do everything for you. You need to help out in the home. Take the initiative. Listen to the instructions and obey. Don't hate them for bringing correction in your life. Learn from David today. Amen? Saul was after him. Saul wanted to kill him. But David's response was one out of respect, recognizing that Saul was the authority figure in his life. And you and I, this morning, children, youths in this place, respect your parents. Deuteronomy 5:16, it says, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. This is part of the Ten Commandments. Leviticus 29, it says, chapter 20, verse 9, it says, for everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. There's a very tough, this is part of the Levitical law. It shows the relationship that should exist between parents and children. Love one another this morning. And lastly, to the church this morning, you know, God has given us leaders and also pastors to watch over us. This is God's anointed authority in the body of Christ. And then I want to tell you this morning, you know, you can have the favor of God in your life if you respect godly authority in the church. Leaders, pastors, you know, they care for you. They speak into your life because they care about you. We're not the enemy this morning, amen? We are your friends. And these are God's anointed authority figures in your life. And I want to encourage you this morning to take on David's attitude this morning. He recognized God's anointed and he treated him with respect and dignity. And even like I said this morning, even when he cut off the robe of Saul's, part of Saul's robe, he felt guilty about it. That's how much he revered godly authority. First, and I close with this scripture. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. And here Paul is writing to the Thessalonica church, and he said these words, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sakes. Be at peace amongst yourselves." As I bring this to a close this morning, church, let's learn from David today. Let's recognize godly headship, whether it be in the home, whether it be in the church, whether it be in your school. Let's recognize especially godly headship over our lives and learn to respect, learn to take heed of the instruction. And most importantly, if they revile you, if they give you rubbish, give them back love. Give them back love. Let's learn from David this morning. Hallelujah. That's all I have this morning. God bless you. Thank you for your attentiveness.